And as we enter the final hour of the program tonight, we'll be continuing to talk with guest Joan Wester Anderson about angelic encounters. We'll also be talking a little bit about miracles, too, and taking your phone calls this next hour. Matter of fact, we'll start off east of the Rockies next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast AM. I'm Chris McGill, filling in for the vacationing George Norrie. Special guest, Joan Wester Anderson, and we're talking about angelic encounters. Joan, welcome back to Coast. We do have quite a few callers already on the line with us. Let's first go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hello, Joan, Chris. Good morning. How are you?
Hi.
Good morning.
My name is Jeff, and I'm calling from Asheville, North Carolina. Joan, are you aware of the image that was done in Clearwater of Mary?
Oh, yes, on the building?
It was on a, it was on the glass on a building down there.
Yes.
I have always been interested in looking for miracles, and, you know, if the harder you look, you might find them. I went there on Good Friday years ago and looked at the image. I used to live in Fort Myers, which is south of Clearwater.
Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed, and the more I looked at it, I was impressed, but several years later, I almost died, and I'm a Roman Catholic, which means I don't quite buy into everything that Catholicism sells.
But a Roman Catholic? Is that what you said?
Roman, yes.
That's funny.
different brand. But anyhow, I had been bitten by a brown recluse spider, and I was in the hospital, and I remember when I was blacking out, I remember fighting to stay alive, and I was panicking. I was choking. They were putting me on a ventilator. And so I'm very good at getting calm when I'm in an emergency situation, typically. And so I did some meditation techniques because I knew I was choking and I was killing myself. And anyhow, I panicked. I was going for the last straw when I started saying the Hail Mary, being raised a Catholic. And I had seen the image. And when I pulled the image into my mind's eye, I was able to breathe right away. And I attributed it to that. I haven't been able to sleep tonight. I'm having a rough time with Christmas. I've been divorced for 4 years. I haven't seen my kids. I have major troubles with my wife, blah, blah, blah. And I woke up and I heard your heard what you were saying about the poverty, you know, and demons and whatnot. And I'm not quite sure if I buy into it, but I surely have been financially strapped since the divorce, and even had troubles before. That was part of the problems with the divorce. But another, there's a three-part story, and I don't know if we have time for everything that involves the image. Probably the weirdest other thing, I vowed that when I got down to Florida again that I would, because we were moving. I moved from Florida, and I vowed when I went back to Florida I would go see the image again, which, in case you don't know, has been smashed.
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say that, but I...
Yeah, I just found that out in a weird way.
How long has that been destroyed, then?
It's over a year.
Yeah, I don't know the particulars on it. Do you?
No, just that it's not there anymore, or at least it's been vandalized.
Anyhow, back to... I went down to Florida again where my wife and I were having troubles, and I went back to Florida to teach. I'm a school teacher, or was. I can't even get a job teaching school anymore, which... makes me think about what you were saying about the demons there. But anyhow, I went down to see the image, and I was going to see it right on my way down, but I didn't have time. And so I swore as soon as I got a job teaching down there, I would come back on my first chance. Well, there was a minor hurricane. I think it was a Category 2 out in the Gulf at the time, and I still hadn't unloaded my car. I was coming from Virginia. And I was going to go up and see it then, and my friends are all saying, you're crazy, don't go up now. And I go, well, it's perfect time because I'll be mobile. I can kind of dodge the storm, and it wasn't that big of a storm. Anyhow, I drove from Fort Myers to Clearwater, which is about a 2.5-hour drive, and it poured like I've seen it rain like that in Florida before, but never consistently, not the 2.5 hours. I mean, it's as heavy of a rain as you – there was nobody on the roads. I mean, I was pretty crazy to be on the roads.
Mm-hmm.
I got within about a half an hour of the image, maybe 20 minutes, and it stopped raining. I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. And I was holding, had a handheld one of those portable TVs and in my car, and it was the whole state of Florida was under cloud cover. I mean, heavy cloud cover. It was a big storm. It just wasn't very, the clouds from it spun out quite far. And when I got to the image, it was dry. And I thought, wow, this is amazing, because I thought I'd get out, just be able to stay a few minutes in a, with an umbrella, and then I'd have to leave. Anyhow, I stayed about 2 to 3 hours. They even had a mass or a service of sorts. There was nuns that, at, when I went back the second time, nuns had taken over. You know, it's hard to explain. Anyhow, it was, nuns were conducting a service there, and it never rained. And when I left there, about again, about 15, 20 minutes away from the image, it started to rain. And I knew that was miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
I also had another instance. I was up at the ARE, which is the Edgar Casey Library in Virginia. And I was telling this the story about the my original, how I felt that I was saved by Mary. And I was telling this to a fellow, and he gave me a look, and he says, well, you know, this isn't so unusual. We're in the Edgar Casey Library. Synchronicity kind of flows through here. But he said, you won't believe where I've just been. So I sort of could guess, because what we were talking about, he goes, open up my briefcase.
Jeff, I got about 20 seconds. Don't mean to interrupt you, but I got about 20 seconds here.
Okay, I opened up my his briefcase, and he took out some pictures. And he had just come from Clearwater and had these pictures developed. And right on the top were the pictures of the image. And he also had just discovered my last name, which is Shepherd, and it turns out that it was taken over by a, what was called a Shepherds of Christ ministry, and the purpose of them was to pray for the priests, because these people, whoever they were, and I don't know enough about them, believe that the priests have been corrupted, and that's why the church is so weak, mm-hmm. which I've always intuitively felt. I personally believe priests not getting married is going to be the downfall of the Catholic Church. But
yeah, that's a whole other story there. Mm-hmm. But we appreciate your calling, Jeff, and I hope your holiday gets better for you. Just keep positive thoughts going. Let's go west of the Rockies now. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hello?
Hello, you're on Coast to Coast.
Okay, this is Jackie from Washington.
Yes, Jackie.
And I had, well, an angel saved my life years ago, but I didn't realize it till about 20 years later. I was about 14 years old. I lived in San Jose, California. It was a beautiful sunny day. A guy goes riding by on a motorcycle. I thought he was cute, and he kept driving back and forth, so he stopped and asked me if I wanted to ride, and I said, sure, being dumb mm-hmm. and naive. Mm-hmm. Got on the motorcycle with him. He took me way out in the foothills. No houses, no cars, and he pulled off the road and said he had to go to the bathroom. So I'm sitting on the motorcycle waiting for him to get done. Took him an awful long time. Well, he gets back to the bike. He starts looking around. And he tells me, you know, I could do something to you out here. My heart dropped. I thought, oh, my God, I'm finished. Then he says, but don't worry, I won't. He took me home. That's the first and last time I ever saw him. About 15, 20 years later, I'm reading this book about the Michigan murders, about this guy who was killing Michigan co-eds, and he had a motorcycle, and he changed the mirrors, and he changed the gas tanks, and he always, you know, was always changing them so he couldn't get caught. Well, he decided to take a trip through California. He ended up killing a girl in Reseda, California. When I read that book, that whole memory came flooding back, and I knew in my heart that was him. Nobody can tell me that it wasn't him, because I know in my heart it was him. And I know my guardian angel was really watching out for me that day.
It sure sounds like it, Jackie. You were very lucky that night. Definitely very lucky. Let's go to the wild card line now. Wild card, you're on Coast to Coast AM with Joan Wester Anderson.
Hey, good morning, Chris and Joan. I have a story for you. I was in the Navy on the USS Coral Sea. We pulled into Israel. I went to Jerusalem with a tour group. And I got tired of going through all the shops. I already bought all the stuff that I wanted. I'm Jewish, so I got everything I needed. And I said, for some reason, I wanted to stand outside and just look around. So I looked down, I look up, and there's two guys standing in front of me. They could not have, it was a large open area, like Grand Central Station. Mm-hmm. They could not have just walked in, you know, without me seeing them walking in. They couldn't run without me hearing them. They were just there. And so they said, we want you to come and talk to somebody, okay, meet somebody. I cannot pronounce the words. I mean, I've spoken Hebrew, and I can't even remember the name. And I apologized. I said, look, I can't leave the group because then it would scare them and it would cause all sorts of problems. And they said, don't worry about it. And I had a very strong feeling of ease with these two guys. They were dressed like Orthodox, very Orthodox Jews, the kind of people that I hang around with. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand how they got there or whatever. But I did get a little concerned because they were trying to get me from the group. So I took their picture. You know, without them knowing it, they were looking away. I took their picture, and later on I told the ship's security force about this, and they wanted to see the picture. Well, as I'm securing the camera, I looked down, and then I looked back, and they're gone again. I went to have the film developed, and they were not in the picture. Mm-hmm. The picture came out. They were not in the picture. And I went to some friends of mine who studied Jewish mysticism, and they said, I just met with my this happens all the time in Jerusalem. I met with my guardian angels.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And
I just love
it. Angels, I believe what you're saying. I get teary-eyed because I know. Feel like the gentleman who said God wants you to go to the church,
mm-hmm.
they do that. They come, they talk to you, and they disappear.
Yes. And how wonderful that it's happening in Jerusalem, too, because, you know, your faith is just the fountain of all of this. It's where it all comes from. And yet, I find it difficult. Jewish people are kind of a little bit more afraid to talk about this than a lot of the Christians that I've interviewed. And yet, when I can get them on a roll, they've got the most wonderful stories. It's just, I just wish they would talk more about these things. Maybe it'll take another, you know, 10 or 12 years, because it certainly took the earlier crowd at least that long to feel comfortable.
I've got to go back to Jerusalem to see if I meet these guys.
I hope you do. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Good luck on that. You never can tell. You may have a second encounter. Mm-hmm. Let's go first to the first time caller line right now. You're on Coast to Coast AM with Joan Wester Anderson.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, this is Eric from New York.
Hey, Eric.
I've had a lot of different experiences, some good, some bad. I remember clearly one time I was driving back from work there. I work in Rochester and live in Kansas City there. And I had the windows down for about 20 miles, and I was tired. Now, it's a long drive every day, and I started falling asleep a couple times, and, you know, the wind really wasn't blowing hard or anything, and I must have fallen asleep for a few seconds there. I probably would have stayed asleep, you know, but this towel came off the floor and swatted me right in the face, you know.
Wow.
Woke me right up. I was like, wow, what just happened, you know, and kind of unexplainable, you know. And there was another incident. My little brother there was in a car accident. I think I saved his life somehow, but a few weeks before the accident happened, I told him to be wearing a seatbelt, you know, and, you know, don't be messing around downtown because anything can happen. Well, believe it or not, my cousin swerved the wheel and ended up hitting him head on, but, you know, he's still alive, but he's injured pretty good. And I wondered if maybe I've had, you know, a lot of weird things like that. Like, I could see the future almost, but
mm-hmm.
I know I have connections there, but I just don't know how to go about making them better, you know?
How would he do that, Joan?
Well,
thank you for calling.
I'm not really sure that you need to do much. I think remaining open to what happens to you and trying to live a good life are two of the most important things, because, you know, if your soul isn't clean, and I'm not saying it isn't, of course, but, if we're messed up with a lot of inner anger and jealousy and bitterness, things like that. It kind of blocks the good flow of things. And so if things are happening to you where you're getting some understanding of the future and other things, just pray that this is from God and that he'll let you know what he wants you to do about it. And it'll be, you'll feel very clear and confident about it. Because these things do happen to people. There are many people walking the earth right now that have marvelous gifts and don't really use them because they're afraid that maybe they're going to make a mistake or people are going to roll their eyes at them. But we don't need to be worried about those things. If this comes from God, then it'll be just fine for you.
You know, it's interesting. The caller mentioned, an incident happened while driving.
Mm-hmm.
On a couple of occasions, I've been driving along, and subconsciously, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to change lanes. I'm going to get over. And for some reason, I just don't do it right
mm-hmm.
then. And then, you know, wham, there goes a vehicle right past me, you know, speeding or whatever the case may be.
In your blind spot or something like that.
Right. Could that be just a little subtle, you know, someone watching over you at that point saying, no, don't do that yet?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I think they must be on highways constantly because...
Well, I have a St. Christopher medal in my car. I always drive with that.
I don't believe that he's no longer. I said no one in the world is going to make me take my St. Christopher medal off of. But St. Raphael the Archangel is also a patron of travelers. So you can ask him too.
You know, I definitely feel sometimes that someone is definitely mm-hmm. Watching over me. Let's go real quick. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast AM. You have about a minute and a half here for your question.
I don't have a question. I have a story,
okay.
An angel story. Okay. There was this one time, okay, it was Halloween, and me and four of my friends went to this cemetery, okay? It's like right in the middle of town. And me and one of my friends that I was with, we both have family buried in the cemetery. And we were over there at their gravestones because they're relatively close. We were standing over there, and my other two friends, they just kind of walked off. Well, I heard one of them, like, holler or something, and they just started running off. So we were like, oh, my gosh. Well, you know, we were kind of scared and everything, so we just started walking off. And we're, like, maybe, like, 50 yards away from where we had been. And she looks over, and she's like, oh, my gosh, what is that? And I was like, it looks like an angel kneeling down praying. And at first I thought it was just somebody trying to scare us or something,
mm-hmm.
but it started moving. And the way it moved, I can't even explain. It was just that, like, it had this fluidity to it. I don't know a word for it. It was just real slow moving. And it's like wings started coming out of it. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and it started floating up. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, that is an angel. I was like, there's nothing else it could be because, I mean, this thing was so huge. It had to have had, like, a 20-foot wingspan, and the wings were like, okay, where they first started, it was like this dark, dark color, and then it just got lighter and lighter and lighter, and on the edges of it was just white, and just all you could see in the middle was white, and like off to the side of it, there was like this pink, faint-looking light. Have no idea what that was.
Hmm.
It was so awesome, though.
You had a good feeling, you said.
Yes.
Well... You were one of the lucky ones, sounds like.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
But
we have to take a short break.
And
we'll be right back, Joan. Let's take a short break here in just a moment. We'll take more of your calls, too, right after the break as we talk with Joan Wester Anderson about angelic encounters on Coast to Coast AM. Don't go away. And as we enter the last part of our last hour of the program this morning with Joan Wester Anderson, I want to talk to Joan a little bit about miracles, and then we'll get right back to your calls, your questions, and your experiences that you may have had with angels. It's all on the way next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast AM. I'm Chris McGill filling in for George Norrie this week as he takes a well-deserved holiday vacation. Our guest, Joan Wester Anderson. And Joan, I wanted to ask you this before we close out the program this evening. You had written a book on miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you consider, what is your definition of a miracle?
I have almost a non-definition of it, which is if you can explain it, it's not a miracle. And that's about the best way that I could put it. It's just something that defies explanation. And, you know, one of the very first ones I ever had came about, it was a woman who had cancer, and she had had it several times, and she had battled back from it each time. But after a while, I imagine you just get so tired doing that. And so she, when it came again, she told her doctor, forget it, I'm not going to be a hero anymore. And so her doctor decided that he would put her in touch with some hospice people. She lived alone, so she was going to need some help. So hospice came over, and they're just such a wonderful organization, and they got her ready and assigned nurses to her. She could stay all night by herself, but then in the morning, the nurses had to be there early. In the meantime, she received in the mail a medal from a very obscure saint. Saint Michael of the Saints was his name. Not Michael, our archangel, but somebody that she'd never heard of. We hear about Saint Peregrine, and there are others that are for cancer patients. And she thought it was kind of odd because she had never heard of this organization. She didn't know anyone that would have written to her. But anyway, she felt it was too late for her, but she would talk to this saint and pray the prayer for anyone else that she knew that might have cancer. Well, this went on for about a week or two, and all of a sudden she started feeling stronger. And one morning when the hospice nurse came, she was already out of bed. Well, she thought, I must be having a miracle from this saint. She went to the doctor, and the doctor examined her, and he said, no, nothing has changed. Your liver is filled, your everything. I mean, there's nothing to be done for you at all. You haven't had a healing. And she said, well, that's kind of odd because I feel better. And I met her in 1990. She still has terminal cancer, but it's now 2005, and she has lived a very full and rich life ever since, and yet nothing changes on any of her x-rays or her tests. And what was even more surprising than that was when she felt better, she wrote to the monastery that had sent her this medal of Saint Michael of the Saints, and she wanted someone there to know what had happened to her. And the person who was in charge of it wrote back and said there really wouldn't have been any way that she could have gotten a medal from them because they didn't have her name on any of their lists, and no one had requested that a medal be sent to her. So we never know when our miracles or what form they're going to take.
Right. That's a good story, though. Let's go now to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast AM with Joan Wester Anderson.
Hi. Yes, Chris. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for waiting. I'm sorry you had to wait so long, and we're going to try to get as many calls in as we can here in the last portion of the show. Go ahead with your question.
Well, I kind of have a different twist on the angel story. I have something from Thailand. I was visiting Thailand. I was visiting it, I was attending a funeral. It was a Buddhist ceremony and everything. And it was a clear day. And then once they lit the fire to cremate the individual, it started raining really hard. And up at the crematorium, I saw this image. It looked like a person. And, you know, I was just wondering, you know, could this have been an angel?
Well, it might have been. Buddhists don't believe in a central God, so therefore they don't have a hierarchy to their faith the way we do, or Christians do. But Buddhists do believe in, they're like layers of beings, and I do think that in their religion practices somewhere there are angels, so it very well could have been, but, you know, who would know? Cremation is their given way of burial, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe it is.
Yes, I think it is all the time. So possibly, I mean, maybe an angel came to take him home. Who knows?
Could be it. Thank you for your call. Let's go now to the wild card line. Welcome to Coast AM.
Yes, good morning. I'm going to carry on with the traveling theme and falling asleep at the wheel. I was driving in eastern Oregon. And I had been driving for quite a few hours, and I had actually fallen asleep. And as I was just dozing off and going into a deeper, I guess, part of sleep, I heard my name called. And I didn't respond, and I heard my name called again. And then on the third time, I was actually kind of felt like I'd been touched and awakened. And sure enough, I had fallen asleep and I was in the ditch.
Mm.
And I'm a great believer in the guardian angel after that experience. And I had never really been a real believer in that. And as you grow up, you know, in various religions, you're told about it. But that experience certainly reinforced to me that there is someone that watches over us.
Well, you know, it's not at all uncommon for this to happen, what happened to you, to happen to other people. You know, we're pushing ourselves today. We're under a lot of stress, and so we drive too long and all of that. But I've heard many people say that either their name was called or they felt like a tugging on their shoulder or on their upper arm, something. Some people have said that they have felt almost a patting on their cheeks. Just, I suppose the angel gets desperate after a while and just has to give us all a kick.
He has to do something to get our attention, to get us out of the trouble we're in. Let's go now to the first-time caller line. Good morning. You're on Coast to Coast AM with Joan Wester Anderson.
Hi, this is Jim from Chicago. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Jim.
Hello, John.
Hi, Jim.
I have a quick question, but I'd like to relate the story first before I ask the question. This is going to sound weird, but every time I entered into a relationship, you know, after growing up in the Roman Catholic tradition, once I got into a relationship, you know, a serious relationship, you know, with a woman, I'd have a dream of a, you know, like a little girl, you know, like, you know, dressed in white, you know, with wings. I'd never see her face. She'd have brown hair, but she'd always have her hands in front of her face, and she was crying. And the impression I got was that she was always saying that, "You're leaving me." And through dumb luck throughout my entire life, you know, I'm 43 years old, and, you know, I'm doing well at my job, you know, successfully and happily married. I'd always get that impression. And when I say, you know, grew up in the, you know, Catholic tradition, my father being, you know, Scottish, my mother being Mexican, I grew up in the you know, Mexican Catholic tradition of believing in saints and angels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now as an adult, you know, I hate to say it, you know, I'm kind of agnostic, kind of, you know, like on the fence about a lot of things spiritual, but, you know, because of that upbringing, I do kind of believe in that stuff. And I kind of believe that that may have been my guardian angel feeling sorrowful that I'm not there with her. And I do get the impression that it was a, you know, female guardian angel that I've never experienced, never seen, you know, like, according to your witnesses that you've spoken about, you know, little children. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I'm wondering if maybe she wants you to have a stronger spiritual life.
And, you know, it's funny you mention that because that's exactly what my wife tells me.
Really?
Yes. And my wife is very spiritual. She tells me that, you know, God wants me back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like I am, as I say, you know, I do believe in God, but, it, you know, I'm kind of on the fence of a lot of other things. And, it, you know, it, let's put it this way. I am a rogue in a lot of things, you know, as far as belief and spirituality and life in general. But it's funny that you mention it because my wife says that, you know, God wants me back.
Maybe that's where the way you need to go, Jim.
I would think
at least try it.
In,
can't hurt
in
to
my
try.
Business, we would call that a confirmation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Let's go now to the wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast AM with Joan Wester Anderson.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Joan. My name is Fred from Portview, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Fred.
And I'd like to relate a story back in 1993. That I believe I met my guardian angel. And the reason I believe this, that particular morning, I left Incline Village, Nevada on Lake Tahoe. And I did three things that I never do. First of all, I went the long way around going to work. I went through the town. As I was going to the intersection of Highway 431, the Mount Rose Highway, I met a where I saw an individual on a mountain bike. He was tall, slender, blonde, and just standing there. It was very cold outside. The guy was wearing biker shorts and blonde, and I says, well, I stopped, and I says, hey, can I give you a lift? And he says, yeah, I appreciate it. I'm going over to the Christmas tree on the other side. I'm supposed to meet somebody. Well, I never pick up anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I always carry a sidearm. You know, I'm that paranoid. So I'm going up the highway, and the third thing I did, which I never do since I'm an experienced mountain driver, but I did something stupid. I passed on a blind curve.
No, no.
And as I was passing on that blind curve, I just barely pulled in after I passed this other vehicle, and another vehicle coming from the opposite direction whizzed right on by. And I would have been dead. This guy didn't flinch, didn't squirm, didn't do anything. And after I got a few feet down the road more, he looked at me and he said, God certainly rides with you, doesn't he? And I looked back at him and I says, you know, God's been riding with me since 1970 when I was a pilot in Vietnam.
Wow.
And the thing about it was, he was supposed to meet another biker coming from Reno area up the eastern slope of the Mountain Rose Highway at this Christmas tree restaurant. And as I dropped him off, he just stood there in the parking lot, and I drove down the rest of the hill. I did not see another car coming from the opposite direction. I did not see a mountain biker pedaling up from the other direction. And I made it all the way into Reno without, seeing another biker.
Mm-hmm.
And
you very well could have had a visitor then with you. I mean, as far as an angelic visitor with you that night.
I certainly believe I did. I certainly believe I did. And it's been a major experience in my life, I can tell you that.
It just sounds like something an angel would do. And the little touch of him being blonde is another thing.
That's what I was going to ask you next about.
Well, it's certainly not true that all angels are blonde, but there does exist a whole bunch of stories about a young men being met on highways, usually very casually dressed. One woman reported being in a bad neighborhood. She was arranging a carpool, and they were trying it out to see if it would work, and it was her first morning, and she thought, oh, I'm not going to wait out here by myself. There were too many, you know, street people, and it just kind of scared her. And along comes a blonde man looking very fabulous, and whatever he was wearing, a Hawaiian shirt and something else. He sits and talks with her until the people come and pick her up, and she says, well, I don't think I'm going to be in this carpool because, you know, I had to sit there. I was all very vulnerable until that cute guy came along. And the girls, of course, in the car had seen her in front of them, and they reassured her that there was absolutely nobody sitting next to her on the bench at all.
I've noticed several of your stories that you have written, Joan, all refer to either a male or female, usually blonde hair, blue eyes.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is ridiculous because one of the very first stories I got was from a police officer who was also a veteran in Vietnam. And when he came home, the only job he could get was a police officer, and he was scared to death of being a police officer, but it was money and it was a job, and he didn't want anybody to know he was supposed to be this tough soldier and all. And on three different occasions, he was in a tight spot, and an African-American man came and got him out of the spot. And the fourth time, he had just arrested somebody, and he threw him up against the garage door and was handcuffing him, and he turned around, and here is this same man again with the big smile, and the guy suddenly realized that this man had to be his guardian angel, and because what were the odds of a fellow? And I guess the other part of the story was that he always was working at something, so he had a different uniform on each time the police officer encountered him. It was just too unusual to be anything other than an angel.
Right.
But the fellow laughed at him and teased him, and he finally realized, okay, I'm called to this profession. I will trust that I'll be taken care of. And he was.
That's a good story. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast AM. We have about a minute and a half for you.
Hi, my name is Pat. I'm calling from San Francisco.
Hi, Pat.
And I was with a group of friends, and we drove up to drop somebody off. I was in the back seat. It was a four-door car, and she was in the middle. As I reached for the door handle to open the door, hands grabbed me around my head, invisible hands, and absolutely paralyzed me. I could not move for about 10, 15, 20 seconds. And then they released, and bam, a car slammed into where I would have been standing if I had been able to have gotten out of the car.
Oh, wow.
So I just was like, because when it was holding me, I'm sure it was my angel, and I thought, I can't move, what's holding me back? And then on another occasion, I was driving in the mountains with a young rabbinical student. He was a drawing student of mine. And we were coming down one of those terrible mountain roads where people do go off cliffs. And a truck was coming up toward us in a car in our lane passing. And the student swerved off the cliff in order to avoid smashing into the oncoming car. And we drove around, and we were back on the other side screaming, there was no room. How did we do this? Mm-hmm. We couldn't have. So I think both of our angels must have worked on that one.
Oh, yeah. Remind me not to go to California.
Exactly.
Oh, no, actually, this was in Colorado.
Oh, well, remind me not to go there.
Thank you for your call, Pat. Joan, in the last few minutes here of the program, tell us where your website is and how people can stay connected to your stories of these angelic encounters.
Oh, this is neat because I've been answering emails on the breaks, and what a nice audience. People have been, you know, emailing me with questions, too. It's www.joanwanderson.com.
And you have an updated story there or a feature story
every other week? Every other week now, I put a new story up. It's called The Story of the Week. Very exciting title, I know, but that's what it is. And then I also have an opportunity, if you want to be on the mailing list, you can get the story mailed to you so people can go there and sign up. There are excerpts from the books and questions about angels that we find answers to and some information about our charity. So,
and you do a lot of charity work. You know, you're really an angel yourself.
Oh, you know, all I do, I'm just a catalyst. I find that people are so good, and if they know that there's a true charity where it's not a scam or something, they will just move heaven and earth to take part in making someone else's life good. So I think, you know, Earth Angel is the place to be, especially now.
It's been a pleasure talking with you tonight, Joan.
Oh, Chris, I've enjoyed it so much. Thank you.
And you have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I will. You too.
And you can go to the coasttocoastam.com website to find out more about Joan Wester Anderson's website as well. I want to thank Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lex Lonehood, Dave Jennings, Kirk Wesley here in Louisville, and a special thanks to Lisa Lyon, George Norrie, and Trevor Oliver for having me back guest hosting tonight. I've had a wonderful time. I hope each and every one of you have a very Merry Christmas and a safe and happy New Year. Until next time, I'm Chris McGill. Take care of yourselves. Good night.